Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Freedom 106.5. How is everybody doing? It is your guy, Karen Rose, and we are live inside the digital world that happens every single Friday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. with my co-host, Janine Edwards. Now, Jinjin's going to be joining us a little bit later. Right now, she is touring the country with the 40 Under 40 influencer crew, and they're hitting a variety of different schools and spreading the good message of, you know, building yourself up, personal development, building your business, and getting the students to think about, you know, different careers and things like that. So shout out to Janine. She will be joining us a little bit later on. Well, we have another action-packed show. You know, every single week, we have some amazing guests that come into the studio. We tackle a variety of topics that would allow you to think about the digital world in a different light. We try to focus on, you know, business and entrepreneurship because, you know, right now, one of the big things that we need to see happening in the Caribbean is new ideas. We need to have new entrepreneurs, you know, finding their footing, figuring out how to build their business, build their brand, and also participate in the global economy. So what we try to do on the show is teach the citizens and our listeners about how to build online. And you hear topics from me, so I'll usually drop some good topics, and then we bring in other entrepreneurs or other companies that have a hand to play in the digital world that you could be able to use for your own benefit. So later on in the show, we are going to have Adonna Taylor from Taylor M Academy. She is a fashion creator. She has built her own brand, her own clothing line, and she is training the next generation of fashion designers / fashion creators. And it's going to be a very interesting show because she has a very, very good story, right? And she's been doing her thing. So she's going to be joining us a little bit later as well. To start things off, I feel like I want to tackle a question that I have been getting a lot over the past couple of weeks. As the new year has started and people are trying to figure out, you know, what new element could I add to my business? Or, you know, maybe I have a message and I'm not exactly sure how to spread that message. We know that there's social media, but social media is just one, you know, space in the entire digital world. And people are trying to figure out, you know, how do I spread that message? How is a new way to interact with my audience or interact with my customers and not just have it limited to, you know, our local markets? You know, what's another way that we can tap into the global space and have people learn about our brands and learn from us and get an idea as to what we do, right? And that question I've been getting asked has led to the conversations around podcasts, right? People have been asking, how do I go about starting a podcast? So the first half of the show, I'm going to be diving into how to go about starting a podcast. Folks, this is going to be a free audio masterclass that you're going to be getting on starting your podcast. And I'm here to take all of your questions. So if you have thought about starting a podcast, right? I want to hear from you. Or if you have questions about starting a podcast, feel free to give us a call at 627-3223. That is 627-3223 or 625-2257. That is 625-2257. Or you can WhatsApp the questions via 306-1065. That is 306-1065. So if you have been thinking about starting a podcast, if you've had questions about podcasting for your brand or for your business, definitely give me a call or shoot me a WhatsApp and I will be taking your questions live and answering, right? So let's get started. If you have been thinking about podcasting is one of the best mediums to communicate with your audience right now. And the reason is, it's the only medium that allows you to connect with your audience in a way that is very intimate. It's the only medium that allows for passive consumption. So right now you're listening to me on the radio, but chances are you are doing something else, right? So audio formats allow for passive consumption. Right now you're most likely driving, right? You're driving and you're headed to your destination. The radio's turned on. You're listening to us. There are people who are working out right now, or maybe they're at work and the radio is on. But because it's audio, we can do other things while consuming audio content, right? Now, radio is radio. The radio format is, you know, we have ads, you know, there's a lot that happens with radio. And not everybody's going to be able to, you know, get on radio or get their own show on radio. However, podcasting has blown up over the past couple of years, right? And with podcasting, it's easy to start. And it allows you to create an intimate space where people could listen to your content and they can be working out. Again, they can be driving, they can be cooking, they can be doing chores. If you were creating a written blog, remember, you can't do something else while reading a blog, right? Same thing with video content, right? If the person or the business or the brand has created video content, chances are you're going to have to be watching that content to get the full picture, the full message as to what they are saying. But audio content, the audio format, that is the only medium where people can truly do other things while consuming your content. So, you know, that makes it one of the best platforms, and it's also the platform, or also the medium, I should say, that has the highest consumption rate. So if you've ever started a YouTube channel, or if you're creating content and, you know, you're putting your stuff on social media, part of the analytics is going to be seeing how much of the content are people consuming. Are they consuming 10 seconds of the content? Are they consuming 15 seconds of the content, right? And then if your video is, you know, 5 minutes, but you realize that the average consumption rate of your content is, you know, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, or a minute, you already know that people are not consuming your content all the way through. But with podcasting has over 80% completion. And that's because it's of passive consumption. People will go and they'll find the show that they want to listen to. They'll press play on the episode, then they go work out, or then they go and cook, or again, they're stuck in traffic and they're listening to us, right? So people have podcasting has a very high consumption rate. So if you are somebody where you have a brand, you have a message, you're an educator, you know, that's a very good medium for you to start thinking about. Now, hold on, we got a call coming in. Let me see if I could take the WhatsApp call. Hello, caller, good day.
I just wanted to bridge a gap between you and myself.
Yes.
Is this the station where what's a famous guy speaking on the station? His name again? Caller name?
Karen Rose.
Okay, and another name.
Govin?
Yeah!
Govin! Right.
I'm glad I'm locked into Govin. Listen.
No, well, Govin just finished. Govin just finished. So I'm Karen Rose. This is the Digital World. So we're from 12 to 3 p.m.
I don't want to go on live. I just want to identify myself with you.
Okay.
My name is Bonnie, right? Ali.
Yeah.
Arima. Born in 1956.
Hey.
The year the PNM was born.
Okay.
I have been very, very meticulous from a child in observation.
Okay.
And I have a good mind of recording things. So in other words, I picked up information since 1962, I think.
Okay.
Yes, until now.
Right.
I have traveled a little bit in the world. I have gathered some information based on my interest, but I don't hold no big academic qualifications.
Right.
One point I'll make to you, and you will understand my intelligence.
Okay.
I am just as intelligent as the lady gypsy sister who sang the calypso that everybody panicking about. But I want to congratulate her. She deserves a crown. Let me tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
This is not about racialism. This is not about prejudice. It is intelligence. If the prime minister could stand up on a platform and say, I have hired all these people here to work for me, and they will do as I say, and if anybody does otherwise, he will be killed. And then he, I don't know if it's a comma, a full stop, or what.
Mm-hmm.
He said politically.
Right.
She listened to that, and she finds that is a threat to her people in the country, in the entire Western Hemisphere, because Calypso reaches everywhere.
Right.
So as a Calypsonian, she took her pen, and she said to her, how could nobody, a lawyer, a doctor, a scientist, we have so many people who claim to have academics here, how could nobody respond to that? As a Calypsonian, she said, you know what? I have the power to go on the air also, and I will respond to it. And I am going to build graves for all of them fellas. And here the last word, politics. She never committed a crime.
Right, right, right.
That's the level of my observation, and the Calypsonians are, and I wish to tell those in authority, give that woman her right right now.
Yes.
She needs a crown of glory because of intelligence.
Yes.
Where were the court magistrates? Where was everybody who claimed to be so bright? Where were the educators when they heard this man speak? And nobody could counteract or give him back an answer for that.
Right.
She did.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
The second thing is, I have three areas to identify in the Western Hemisphere. One, I was just about to tell Andy Williams something on the radio, and he said, you only have 5 minutes. I said, no, I can't do it. Same time, divine intervention took place, and somebody brought about this conversation between the Jamaican media personnel. They are very smart people, eh?
Yeah.
And they have experience, because look at the kind of people were singing what kind of songs in their country.
Right.
And they realized that that was wrong to propagate in the world.
Right, right,
in
right.
In other words, they were going to look like shapeshifters. You ever hear people talk about aliens who were shapeshifters? Well, shapeshifting existed ever since Dr. Eric Williams, our prime minister, took over these lands and the resources away from the white people.
Agreed. So thank you for the contribution, Bonnie. So when you want to speak with Govan, Govan comes in every...
I want to have more conversations with you. Yeah. Also, too, there's a man, I forgot his name, just preaching on the radio this morning. He says he's a preacher man. He is wearing the robe of Moses the prophet, and he is identifying races of people as evil people. How could he do that? He should be taken off the air, and I recommend T.B. Joshua on our airwaves.
All right.
That's my guru.
Thank you very much for that contribution. All right. All right. So as we get back into the digital world, thank you for that contribution, Bonnie. All right. So we were talking about, you know, getting your message out by starting a podcast. And you see, everybody is looking for that platform. So just as how Bonnie called in and Bonnie identified himself as somebody with a message, he has, you know, intelligence, he has intellect, you know, he could be packaging all of that into a podcast. So he himself could create his own platform. And the people who are interested in the message that he has would be locked and loaded. And this is, again, this is why, you know, we're educating people about these things. Because you don't have to just rely on trying to get on air. You can actually create your own platforms. And it's really easy to do. So how do we get started with podcasting, right? The most important thing to identify first is what is going to be our topic. What is going to be our topic? So if you are in business, right, you want to think about, how can I create a podcast using the niche or using the industry that we are in, and how could we educate the space and make it entertaining and have fun, and also create that space where other people that are other stakeholders, other experts within our industry, they can come on and we can have some great discourse about the topics. Now, you're probably thinking, that might not be for every industry, right? Because your industry might be something hands-on like construction. how do you do a podcast on construction? Well, this is one exercise that I tell everybody to do when they're thinking about whether or not they can actually do a podcast within their industry, because they feel like their industry is very hands-on and very visual. They might not be able to pull it off. So that exercise is you want to jump on Google, right? And if your industry is construction, you're going to type into Google construction podcasts, right? So I'm doing it myself as well. So we put in construction podcasts, and what you're going to see is all of the podcasts that around the world or within your industry, they're going to pop up. And then you can go and take a listen to a few of the various episodes from the different podcasts to see what their angle is. How are they bringing across their message? What are some of the topics that they are speaking about? Now, keep in mind, we're in the Caribbean, all right? So all of the podcasts that you're typically going to see are going to be from people around the world. And we know we have our own perspective. We have our own unique situation and issues and how we have to deal with things. Construction in Russia is going to look very different from construction right here in Trinidad and Tobago, right? So you could have that construction podcast and be speaking about the topics that would relate to us. So I just pulled up construction podcasts, and look at this. 47 podcasts about construction have pulled up, right? We got the Contech Crew, the podcast for everyone wanting to stay up to date on construction technology news. Each episode features an expert speaker. Then we got the Art of Construction. This is mainstay of the construction podcast world. Has been around from 2014. I'm just trying to see if I can get a bit of the snippets about it. Construction Brothers, Digital Builder, Mass Construction Show, Elevate Construction, Construction Life, the Construction Engineering Show. So you see, whatever your industry is, if you are unsure about whether or not you yourself could make it work because you think, okay, I'm in an industry where I don't think it could be audio. I think it would need to be visual. Go on to Google or go on to Bing, whatever search engine that you use, type in your industry. So if it's baking, type in baking podcasts. Look to see all of the different podcasts that come up right now and then listen to a few episodes. See what their angle is, and you're going to get to see that it can be done. It can be done via audio format, right? And then you will use your own creative juices to make it work for you to bring about your own perspectives, right? So that's the first thing, is getting your topic nailed down, finding that topic. If you have a message, so just like I said before, Bonnie called in, and he was talking about Calypso and the government. That, of course, would I don't got to tell you that would make a really good podcast, right? It's going to bring about some amazing conversations. It's going to rub a lot of people the wrong way because it can get very politically motivated. But the point is, whether you agree with the content or whether you are against the content, people are going to tune in and hear it, right? People are going to tune in and hear it. And, you know, that would make a really good podcast, right? As long as you have people who are willing to come in and listen, that's going to make a really good piece of content. All right. So after you figure out, you know, what the topic is going to be, the next thing is, well, what equipment do we need in order to create our own podcast? And the good thing is the equipment for a podcast isn't much, all right? It's not much, and it doesn't need to get expensive. So at the very, very, very bare minimum, the only thing you need is a microphone and a device to record the audio. So at bare minimum, you could use your smartphone and an audio recorder, and you could use the microphone, the headset on your microphone that comes with your phone. So whether that be your Apple AirPods or whether that be your wired headset, you know, you could use that and record your audio, right? Now, that's bare minimum. That's all you need to start a podcast, a device to record the audio and your headset or something with a microphone, right? Now, remember, because podcasting and audio, we're in intimate spaces. So you're listening to me on the radio. You might be in your car. You might be in the office. You might be watching us on the live stream right now. You might be working out and tuning into us, right? You want your audio to sound good, right? So if your headset from your phone, if it's not sounding good, you have to keep in mind that people might turn it off. They might not listen to it because it might be hurting their ears. It might just not be... the quality might not be enough for them to listen in. But there are some amazing headsets right now, wired headsets that can plug into your phone that give you good audio quality, right? There are lapel mics that you can buy on Amazon for like $15, $20 and connect it to your phone, and you're going to get some really good audio quality, right? So that's a good starting point. At bare minimum, your phone and a microphone, and if you can get a dedicated microphone, then that would even be better, right? Something that connects to your phone that is a dedicated microphone that's not necessarily the headset from your phone, all right? Then if you want to step your game up, let's just say you have about 100 US to spend, right? So let's call that 700 TT. If you have a little bit of cash, what I would recommend is going on Amazon and checking out some of the microphones. Now, what you want is you want a dynamic microphone. You don't want an omnidirectional microphone. You want a dynamic microphone. And the reason why you want dynamic is you want a microphone that is going to pick up the voice right in front of the microphone. So I'm using a dynamic microphone right now, right? So if I'm speaking directly in front of the mic, you're hearing me loud and clear. But with a dynamic microphone, if I were to move my face away from the microphone, then it's going to sound very faint into the background. So I'm gonna move my face. I'm going to speak.
You know, how does that sound? You're not really hearing me too much. It sounds like I'm in the background, right?
But then I come back here and you're hearing me loud and clear. So your dynamic microphones tend to filter out a lot of the noises that are not directly in front of the microphone. And that's going to be good because, let's face it, we're in the Caribbean. I podcast at home. And, you know, when the roosters decide to start crowing at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, I tend to film I record my podcast early in the morning because it's as quiet as it can be, right? However, that's the time that the roosters are waking up. So, you know, from time to time, you know, depending on how close those roosters are, you might be in a situation where, like, I used to have an apartment where the roosters were literally, like, they would leave their coop and they would be literally right outside my window. It almost felt like they were waiting for me to podcast. And then they'd jump up and look in the mirror and wait for that moment where the microphone went on, and they would start to make all the world of noise. And then I turned it into a running joke where, you know, I was like, hey, everybody, here's Johnny the Rooster, right? Say hello to Johnny the Rooster, because there was just no stopping Johnny from making his appearance felt on the podcast, right? So we know that we're going to have to try to, you know, get the right equipment so that we can get a good quality podcast. So if you jump on Amazon, if you look for the microphone that I use right now, is from Audio Technica. It is the ATR 2100X. That microphone right now is on sale for like 70 US, and it's a really, really good microphone because it allows you to, one, connect via USB directly into your computer. Or if you have some other equipment and you want to use XLRs, an XLR cable, that microphone does connect to XLR as well for high quality audio output, right? And even if you don't want to buy another device to allow your microphone or allow your computer to read an XLR microphone, again, it does connect directly via USB. So that $70 is a great starting point to get you a nice, solid quality microphone where the audio quality is going to be good and you can connect it directly to your computer, all right? Now, if you are somebody where you know a little bit about microphones and you want to get some even better quality, you can purchase an audio interface. So there's some from Scarlet Iris. You see, I'm thinking Trinidad, right? Scarlet Ibis. There's an audio interface called a Scarlet Iris that goes for about $80 as well. That would allow you to connect the XLR cable from the microphone into the audio interface, and that audio interface would connect to your computer via USB, and that would give you some amazing quality right out the gate. So if you were to buy your microphone, the audio interface, that might run you about $150 to $200, right? Because again, you can get these things used. You can also get them brand new, and there's going to be deals on Amazon, deals on eBay. But I'm just kind of giving you, you know, what you're looking for when you're starting out. So bare minimum, your phone and your headset that comes with your phone. Or you can go on Amazon and buy one of those dedicated lapel microphones that connect to your device. They go from anywhere between $50, depending on the brand and the quality and whatnot, right? If you want to kick things up, you can go and get a dynamic microphone that connects to your computer via USB. Or you can add in a audio interface that would allow you to use an XLR cable with your microphone. And then the audio interface connects to your computer. And that's really it for the equipment. That's really it. And you're using your computer, right? So it's not like when you're doing video and you got to go in and buy an expensive camera and then you got to learn how to edit. And, you know, you could really get started with just that, right? And if the content is good, when you are starting out with the podcast, you don't even necessarily need to do the editing. Like editing of the audio quality, or the most you're really gonna need is probably your intro, your outro. You can find some nice royalty-free music where you can add in for your intro, and then you talk over, you know, to create your own intro. Or what some people will do is they could go on Fiverr and have somebody on Fiverr create an intro for them. Like I got somebody to do my intro and outro. And I paid about $50 to have them voice over and mix my audio, the audio for my intro and outro. But you could do it yourself. You can create your own intro. You can find some royalty-free music for free. You know, create your own intro. A lot of people that are starting out, they do that, and it works well. And again, when you're growing, when the podcast is building and is doing what it needs to do, at that point you can start to, you know, maybe pay somebody to do your intro. But to get started, you could just use some free royalty-free music, use your own voice, create your own intro. The people are there for the content, all right? So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to play one song. We're going to come back, and then I'm going to tell you the next step that you're going to need for your podcast, all right? So bear with me and stay tuned.
This is 106.5.
So we are back right here on The Digital World. We are moments away from our guest, Ms. Adonna Taylor, coming in. And we're going to be talking about her journey and how she has built her brand and a whole lot more, right? So let's pick up where we left off. The conversation is going good. If you have any questions whatsoever about podcasting, you've been thinking about it, you wanted to know how to get started, maybe you started and you stopped and you couldn't figure something out, any questions you have, you want to give us a call at 627-3223. That is 627-3223. You can also give us a call at 625-2257, 625-2257. And if you want a WhatsApp, you can message us at 306-1065. That is 306-1065. All right. So the next step in the podcasting phase would be to go and find your podcast hosts, right? The podcasting hosts, this is going to be the place where you're going to be uploading your audio files, right? You're going to be uploading your audio files. People are going to be able to listen to your podcasts online. So the podcast hosts. There's a couple of big ones. You can go and check out Libsyn, Libsyn. There is Podbean. That's the platform that I use. Podbean. Then you have things like let me pull up some of these podcast hosts. The main one that I use is called Podbean. So let me just pull up. Let me get a couple of other ones. Podcast hosts. Bam, bam, bam. Podcast hosting. Who else is there? Buzzsprout. That's the next big one, right? Buzzsprout. Who else do we got here? Anchor. Anchor is the next big one that a lot of people have heard about. That is from Spotify, Anchor. So I use Podbean. So you can, now pretty much every single podcast host, they do have free plans, right? They do have free plans. They have free plans so you can test things out. So you might want to give it a try first, right? But if you know you're ready to do it, the podcasting plans are relatively cheap. And they start from as low as like $10 a month, right? And they allow you to upload as many audio podcasts you want for the month, right? So you want to check those out. Now, your audio podcast, you're going to be uploading your files. After you've recorded your podcast, you have your microphone, if you're using your phone or using an audio app, if you are recording into your computer, if you're using a Mac or you're using a Windows computer, you could download a program called Audacity. Audacity is really good where you can, and it's free, where you could record your audio. And there's tons of features inside of Audacity where you can take tutorials on YouTube. And you could learn how to clean up the audio if you choose, and then you can add in your intros and outros, all right? So you record your audio, and you've uploaded it to your podcast host. The beautiful thing about your podcast host is they will now distribute your audio files to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addicts, the whole list of podcasting platforms all around the world that people are using. So that's another thing that people ask a lot. Hey, how did you get onto Apple Podcasts? How did you get onto Spotify, Google Podcasts, you know, CastBox? You know, those are some of the popular podcasting platforms. Even Digicel. Digicel has their application where you can listen to podcasts as well, right? I think it's called Digicel Loud. I forget the name of the podcasting platform. But let me see if I can pull it up, because again, it's local, so you know, Go Loud. That's it. Go Loud. Go Loud is Digicel's audio platform where they allow you to distribute your podcasts for, and all Digicel customers can listen to your stuff for free, right? But again, all the podcast platforms like Spotify let you listen to podcasts for free. Apple Podcasts, same thing. Google Podcasts, all these platforms to listen to podcasts are free. And you would upload your audio files to your podcast host, and then your podcast host would distribute your audio podcast to all of the various platforms all around the world. And now your audience can download any one of the applications and listen to your content. They can listen to your content for free, right? So that's really it when it comes to putting together a podcast. It's the equipment, it's the app you're going to be using to record your audio files, and then getting your stuff into the podcast host. Now that's all you need to put together a podcast. The content itself is a completely different thing, right? That is, you know, what you're going to be figuring out, what you want to put into your podcast. What is going to be your angle? Is it going to be a solo show? Are you going to be the only one speaking? Are you going to be interviewing guests? Are you going to have a co-host? These are some of the things you're going to be figuring out when you're coming up with a podcast. But trust and believe, there is a podcast. There's a podcast in everybody, and I think everybody has a message, and I also think it's one of the least intimidating mediums to create content for. And what do I mean by that? You have people who don't necessarily like to write, right? They write how they speak, and that's not always the most, you know, legible thing to consume, right? So they might be intimidated by writing. And writing is going to require you to have a website or a platform where you're going to be typing and writing your stuff on. So some people kind of get intimidated by that. Then there's video. Video, you, when you're on video, people see you. And not everybody wants people gawking at them while they're creating their content. There are people that are camera shy. For whatever the reason is, they're camera shy and they don't want to be on video. For me, when I got started, I hated video. That was not my personality. I never wanted to be on video. So I started off blogging because it just allowed me to kind of, you know, be behind my screen and write my blogs about tech and just get it out there. But since I started podcasting a year and a half ago, podcasting has quickly become my favorite platform because I get to now, you get to hear my personality. You get to feel my energy. You get to take me to work with you. There are people who stop me and like, yo, I listen to your podcast at work, right? And that gets me through the day. Listening to your insightful content gets me through the day. To listen to me at work. There are people that stop me and say, yo, we listen to you at the gym, or, you know, we queue up your podcast, you know, on the way to work. So that is what you should be thinking about when it comes to, you know, whether or not you want to start your podcast. You have that message, you want to get that out there, right? And if you're unsure if you can do a podcast, like I said, take your industry, jump on Google, type in your industry, and then type in podcast. And you're going to see all the other people who are around the world creating podcasts in your industry. Listen to a few and get the feel for, you know, the angles and the things that they're talking about in the audio space. It's going to be one of the best things that you do. And when we look at the Apple Podcast charts and the Spotify charts, because there are charts that rank the podcast every single day. So every single day there's a ranking because people are downloading and streaming the podcast. So every day there's a platform that ranks the podcast in each country, in each different segmentation: business, entrepreneurship, marketing, personal development, storytelling, you name it, right? And then you get to see, you know, where you're ranking in your country for that category, or if you're ranking in the Apple Podcast charts in other countries. So currently my podcast, Digipreneur FM, shameless plug, Digipreneur FM ranks in the top 5 right now for Trinidad and Tobago for business and also entrepreneurship podcasting. It also ranks in the top 20 for Jamaica and also in the top 5 for St. Vincent in business and entrepreneurship, the categories. When we are looking at the other categories, we don't really get to see many Caribbean podcasts hitting the charts. And I think a big part of it is that we don't have enough Caribbean people creating podcasts, right? So I would love to see more people creating their podcasts, staying consistent, because guess what? What people don't realize is that the highest paid creators in the world are podcasters. The biggest contract for came up was to Joe Rogan for Spotify. Podcasters are getting paid. And then remember, too, like I said earlier, podcasting does have the highest consumption rate of all medium platforms. Social media right now, folks, is getting very noisy. Not getting. It's been noisy for a very long time. And trying to fight through the constant dancing and shooking and jiving on TikTok just to get some views, and most businesses or most brands or people with the message are straying away because they feel like they're not getting seen on social media. Well, folks, there are other things that you can do, and maybe podcasting might be that platform for you, all right? So I hope I gave you a good little breakdown of how to get started with a podcast, you know, why you want to start a podcast, and how to go about doing it. And again, if you have any questions about podcasting, you want to give us a call at 627-3223, 627-3223, also at 625-2257, 625-2257, and you guys can WhatsApp your questions at 306-1065, 306-1065, all right? All right, so we're going to go and take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to see if our guest is here and in studio. And we're going to continue on the digital world, all right?
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
So we are back inside the digital world. I hope you didn't miss us too much. I had to go and get the stunning Adzana Taylor from Taylor M Academy inside the building. If you are locked on to Freedom 106.5 right now and you actually want to watch the conversation, you can head to the Freedom 106.5 website where we are live streaming. You can see the guests. You can see the conversation. We have so much to talk about. So, folks, without further ado, let us welcome Miss Adzana Taylor, a.k.a. the CEO of Taylor M Limited and Taylor Academy. Adzana, how are you doing today?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
How you been?
I'm great. Busy, but great.
Listen, the girl is too busy. She forget about people. She's just busy. And what I like to see is the fact that every time you are looking at Taylor M, you're seeing the growth over the past couple of years, you know? So let's get started. You know, how did you start Taylor M?
Oh, wow. That's actually a really amazing story. I would say it's amazing because it's actually something that was not in my plans for my life. So
wasn't planned?
No.
Okay.
I had no idea or no clue that this is what I wanted to do. It just happened. So I would say, ever since I knew myself, I always loved designing, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I remember designing my own graduation gong. Mm-hmm. Leaving secondary school, I would always be sketching. I still have the scrapbook where I would have just been sketching, but just for fun. Like, you know, in my mind, I'm not like, yeah, I want to go into fashion. Like, so I've always been fashion. At least I think I've always been fashionable. I would have been the one that would dress weird, quote-unquote weird. And when I left school, I went to Whitehead because I started studying human resource management.
Difference. Yeah.
Went to Whitehead to do a computer class.
Yeah.
Went to sign up, found out that the class was filled. They said, we'll put you in the sewing class for a bit. Yeah.
Randomly,
right. Usually persons drop out of a class. So we would just slip you into the computer class eventually. Then I would have been like, you know, okay, I'll do it. Right. But in my mind, I never liked sewing. Like, I really didn't like sewing.
Right.
So I was like, okay, cool. I really want to do the class. Ended up in the class after about 2 to 3 sessions.
Yeah.
Fell in love with sewing because I realized, okay, I could actually create the things I've been sketching. Like, I could do it myself. Like, you know, I fell in love with sewing. Never left the class. Ended up going back to do the advanced.
Uh-huh.
Never left the class. And then the sewing teacher, she eventually became closer. Actually, I need to find her. I haven't seen her for years.
Well, but sewing teacher, if you're listening
to this. I can't even remember her name, but she was amazing. She was my mentor. She guided me outside of what would have been in the curriculum.
Yeah.
So she really gave me that push. And then when I left YTEP, I didn't continue with the sewing. I started continuing my human resource management. So I started doing it at SBCS, my degree at SBCS. And I was on my own. And I know I needed a little extra cash to pay rent, to pay this, to pay that. So I'm like, let me sew on the side for like my sisters, my friends. I still have images from my first garments I would have designed and sew for my friends and so forth. And again, no clue that this is what I'm going to do. Still studying my human resource management because I know I want to be a human HRM specialist.
It's safe. It's a safe career too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I was working service commission. So that job was, you know, I felt like,
you're good.
So I'm good.
Yeah.
Doing this thing part-time, started like loving this feeling that I'm seeing when persons put on the clothing, although I'm seeing the faults now when I look back at those garments. It's like I really was doing this, but just being able to witness how they transform, like their confidence when they put on this piece, I fell in like my pause racing. I fell in love with that, and I was like, you know, maybe this is something I could really get deep into. Registered the business, opened, like started Instagram page, started a Facebook page, started taking small jobs in my little, I was living in a little studio apartment. no sewing space, I would have been standing sewing on my washing machine. So in my bedroom. Yeah. So there was like the living room, then there would have been the bedroom. And I would stand up in the bedroom with the sewing machine on top of the washing machine, and I am sewing, they trying on, I'm sewing, I didn't care. I am sewing, adjusting the fit, sewing. And I did that for, let's say, probably about a year and a half.
Jeez.
Yeah. I did that for about a year and a half. Then it so happened, my business started like getting out there in terms of, okay, yes, Taylor M. Then I started getting more orders and more orders. I still didn't have the idea, okay, this is what I'm going to do. So right. I did it part-time. I would have networked with other fashion designers. We started working together. Actually, one of the teachers that is a part of the academy, we met back then. So we would have, so we would have been doing little side jobs together. We did Olutunji outfits for Soka Manak when he won. Hey. So, like, I did all of those little networking opportunities. Yeah. And then about a year after that, I got pregnant with my son. And then I was like, my job, my son, motherhood, and this side business.
Yeah.
Something has to go. It's not the side hustle, it's not my son. So I was like, you know, I think I'm
going to send it.
Yeah. I think I'm going to leave this job and go full time into.
That's literally
no plan. Like, I had no, like, structured plan of what I'm going to do after that. All I know, something had to give. Right. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to leave this job. I went on maternity leave.
Never came back. They're still waiting for you back.
Because I was really unhappy. So right. I wanted to do, but even though I knew to myself, I had no clue. I just knew I wasn't feeling fulfilled.
Right.
So I left, but thankfully I had the support. So it's not like I just did it without any type of support. So thankfully I'm blessed that time of my life I had support.
Right.
So I left my job, never looked back, dived into Taylor M. 100%. I did take some time off when I had my son about a year. I took some time off to just, you know, really just build myself. And then I dived into Taylor M full time. And that is how we started.
Wow. All right. So we got to pull it back.
It's a lot, and there's
a lot to dissect.
Yeah.
So I love to hear the stories of the humble beginnings, because when people see Taylor M, 16,000 plus followers, they see your styling, artists, you're seeing some of the very popular influencers with your clothing. They don't know where it started from, that you were doing it right in your studio apartment on the washing machine, not even a little desk. You didn't even take a little cheap desk and put that somewhere. That's nothing on the washing machine, right? And it's really grown from there. But when you were deciding to leave the job, even though you were unhappy, you were getting a stable paycheck, right? There are a lot of people where that's the thought of leaving their job, their secure job, for something with no security and no plan. That fear is crippling, and they stay in that role. What brought you to the point where you're like, job? Deuces. Like, what really brought you to that point where you were like, yo, no, I'm really going to bet on myself?
Because to be honest, I was afraid. Mm. Deep down, I was afraid. Because I remember asking my mom, I was like, not even asking, I was like, you know, telling her, mommy, I'm thinking of leaving this job and doing Taylor M full time.
Sideways.
No, it's crazy. She was super supportive.
Wow.
She was, because I was really surprised too, because I would think, you know, persons would be like, why are you leaving this? She was, whatever you decide to do, I'm supporting you.
Right.
I am looking for a reason. I get it. Please don't make me get emotional here.
Yeah, we can't help it, man.
I'm
super grateful.
Yeah, because it was a scary time.
Yeah.
And I really had that support. My sisters, everyone was like, whatever you decide to do, we are supporting you. And I think that is what made me be like, okay, I have that support. They are my backbone.
Yeah.
I am going to do it. Whatever happened after that, we will figure it out. I know I have that support. I trust and I believe God is guiding me.
Right.
I have my support system. I'm going to leave. And then my son, I have a newborn baby. That was one of the big motivators too, because I was like, okay, I don't want to wake up every day and go to this job and I know I'm not feeling fulfilled. Yeah. I leave in my home, leaving your son, to go and do something that I'm not feeling fulfilled. Like, to me, this was not living. I wanted to chase what I love, what was bringing me that joy regardless.
Yeah.
I was willing to take the risk. And as I said, something would work out. It always works out.
Yeah.
Some way, somehow. It's going to be difficult, but it always works out.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to the career paths that we choose in the Caribbean, we know our Caribbean parents. Yeah. They give you three options. Lawyer, doctor, engineer, anything else, you're a bum. You're pretty much a bum, right? What was that conversation like when you told your mom, okay, we're leaving the job, but guess what, mom? We're going ENSO. What was that conversation
Very
like?
Very supportive, because to be quite honest, when I attended Tranquility, mm-hmm. and there would have been a year, for some reason, I didn't do well that year.
Yeah.
And my mom asked me, do you want to drop out of school and do a trade? She asked me that. I always remember because I've always been creative.
Right.
She actually bought a toy sewing machine for me as a child. It's only a few years ago I remember that. She reminded me of that.
Wow.
And like, it's like everything was like would have been there and I didn't see, like everything would have been aligning, like all these signs were there. But, and she did ask me that. So even when it got to that point of me saying, okay, I'm going to do TLM full time.
Right.
She was very supportive because I'm thinking she would have seen the talent that I had, the passion that I had. She trusted and she believed in it. So that they are my backbone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Adana, where did you grow up in Trinidad?
I grew up in Lavantil.
Say it again for the people.
Parts of Lavantil, actually.
Say it again for
Lavantil,
the people.
Lavantil, Mova, Oxford Street, wow. Bel-Air Road.
Wow. Yeah. What was it like growing up in Lavantil and Mova?
It was, how to say, it was fun because at that age, like, we would have had the neighbors, the other kids, like I remember. And I have two sisters, and well, I should say three sisters. I had an older, she's a cousin, but she's like a sister to us, right? So let me say three sisters. So, you know, I just grew up playing in the role, like that's the memories I would have there. It's only as we got older, things got worse, and we would have had experiences and so forth where it would have been like, deuces. Deuces. But outside of that, growing up there, like, as a child, it would have just been playing, basically.
No, it's good because we always hear the negative, right?
Yeah.
But we don't get to see enough of the good that comes out of Lavantil.
Yeah.
So it's great to know that you have come from such humble beginnings. You've come from Lavantil and you've really made your mark in your space. So with sewing, like, what about this field makes you feel fulfilled? I know you're very big on doing something where you feel fulfilled, but what is it about this industry that gives you the, makes your skin crawl? It gives you the heebie-jeebies, that you feel good doing?
Just being able to witness the transformation that women experience when they put on one of my pieces, just seeing that, because it is also personal for me, because I grew up, what's the word, with, I would say low self-confidence. And it took me, like, persons, you need to be fashionable to really be very intentional with what you wear and so forth. Because when you look good, you feel good. When you put on certain pieces, you feel good. So being able to experience that personally when I really started, you know, being a bit more intentional with how I looked, what I wore and so forth, the confidence that I, like, would have been, like, building up over the years, I was like, oh my gosh. And then, as I said, when I saw the confidence when persons put on the clothing, when I just started, when I saw my friend's face light up, like, that makes me happy.
Right.
When I see someone's face lights up, when customers send me images or they message, oh my gosh, I love this, I love how it fits, I love how it looked, like, that in itself just makes me so happy. And that is why I even started teaching sewing as well, because just being able to create your own garment is also boosting your self-confidence and just having that self-sufficiency. So yeah, just witnessing the transformation that women experience, that a woman experience, that is what gives me the, I'm a pause is raising again.
Listen, all right, one of the big problems that people face is a lot of the jobs that we do, a lot of the businesses that we create, a lot of them start off as side hustles, right? And when you make that transition and you start to build a business, you understand there is a very big difference between the building a business and being the business owner versus what you do as a side hustle. For you, when did you realize that what you were building, what was it? When was that point where you realized, okay, this is no longer going to be a side hustle? We're now able to turn that corner and turn it into a business. What was it? What was that moment for you?
I would definitely say when it started growing in terms of the amount of customers I started having and the type of people that also would have been reaching out to have my pieces and so forth. I was like, okay, so this is really happening. This is happening, happening. And then obviously as the business grew, finances, I need to ensure I had that in place. Like all of the things that would have just been whatever, it started to become serious. So I had to ensure that I have everything in terms of my budget, everything legal in place, and just all of those structured parts of the business. I had to ensure in order for it to grow, in order to be able to scale the business. That is when I was like, yeah, it's getting real now. So I have to ensure that I operate like it's a business. It's no longer a side hustle. In order for me to grow, I need to operate like it's a business. So all of the things that I need to put in place for this to function as a business, I need to get on it. I need to get on it. And the aim is for me, like I'm thinking long-term longevity. So in order to get there, I need to have that structure. And that is when I realized, yeah, it's a business. It's no longer a side hustle.
Yeah. And listen, that is a struggle for so many people. There are a lot of people who might have a really good product. They might be making punch. They might be making clothes. They might be making something. But if you continue to treat it like a side hustle, it never transitions into a business. Mm. Did you have somebody in your corner, somebody that you could have gone to, or even an institution that you could have gone to help you with learning about what different pieces you needed to put in place to make that transition to a business?
I would say it would be like persons around me who is already in business, who would have grown to a point. I have a really very close friend who's actually my accountant, Nikisha Jeffrey, NSJ Financials.
Hello.
She has been my support over the years. Her business is doing well. And she has been there, especially where finance is concerned. She's been, all right, you need to do this, you need to do that.
Right.
You need to ensure this is in place, you need to ensure that is in place.
Right.
So she was a huge help. And just by honestly, I wish I had more. I didn't have much, but the few that I have, I was able to make the best of it. And a lot of things, to be quite honest, would have been trial and error.
Right.
So it would have been things that happen as like, ah, I need to do this better, or yeah, I need to do that better.
Right.
So this is why now I try to help others. So like I like to pour into others now, so they don't have to go through the trial and error that I went through.
Right.
So like a lot of my students who start in businesses, I would be like, okay, you want to ensure you do this, you want to ensure you do that. Don't do this, don't do that. So you want to be able to just skip that trial and error. Like, yes, they may need to go through a few things, but they don't have to go through
everything
what I went through, right? So this would allow them to just, you know, get the kickstart that they need.
What are two things that you would do differently if you had to start over from scratch right now?
From scratch, definitely finances. From the jump, I would have separated my business and my personal. I didn't do that at all from the jump.
Mm-hmm.
And a business plan, a proper business plan.
Right.
So doing it at the stage that I was in would have been super, super, super difficult. So those are the two main things I would have started with from the jump.
All right. You're sounding good. We're sounding good, folks. Listen, there's a reason why every single week we bring on guests like Adonna, because everybody is coming from humble beginnings and making their mark in the world. And we want to hear from a variety of different people who are building their name and building a business in this new digital world. We have so much more to talk with Adonna about. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back after this ad sponsor. We got to pay some bills. You guys know how we do it, right? We'll be right back with you.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
So we are back right here on the digital world with Miss Adonna Taylor from Taylor M. Adonna, how are you doing? Hold on. Say that again. Are you great?
I'm great.
Wonderful. We're hearing you loud and clear.
Nice.
All right. So you've started the business, right? And now you decided, you know what? Now I want to open up the academy. I want to start to teach. Now, the funny thing with teaching is in the Caribbean, we tend to not want to teach. We like to hold all of our secrets to our chest. We don't want to train the next person who is going to, you know, do exactly what we're doing and then unseat us. There's just so many reasons why people don't like to teach and they keep everything to themselves. So for you, what was it about wanting to teach that led you to opening up the academy side of what you do?
I don't want to sound too, okay.
Toot your horn, girl.
No, I don't want to seem like, you know, okay, I like to help others. But truly, that is one of the main reasons. Because ever since I've known myself, based on things that I've been through, my aim in life is to make things better for another female.
Right.
So in my mind, I'm like, okay, so if I can share my knowledge, this experience or this transformation that I personally experienced by learning this skill, other women would want to experience this, and not just that, what they can do with it could be so much more than what I did with mine. Mm. So I would have been like, okay, maybe I should start teaching this skill. And not just that, I knew the struggle I had with finding a sewing school when I was going through my journey. Right. And again, business is about solving a problem. Because even though I love to do it, all of that, I also want to be able to solve a problem. Yeah. So I was like, okay, there isn't much options. There's options out there. But to say like, okay, yes, one that you could really count on, because I've been to a few and I dropped out. So I was like, you know, I'm going to start a sewing school. I'm going to start sharing my knowledge. I'm going to start teaching other women how to learn this skill, how to create their own garments, whether it's for yourself, whether it's to start a business. And yeah, I really love it. Like, it makes me happy seeing other women experience that.
Have you ever felt guarded in the sense where, you know, you were unsure about teaching because, again, you didn't want people to take your intellectual property? Have you ever felt like that? Because again, that's a big thing as to why people like to share their knowledge. They feel like they're gonna have people take their knowledge and outdo them. You ever felt like
that? Not once. I've had persons come to me and be like, so you don't think like they would be coming to be a competition? They would be like, I've had students literally like learn to sew and been recreating my Taylor M garments. And like, I felt nothing. I was like, okay, I don't know. It's strange. So I don't know. I really don't know if I'm just not allowing myself to feel something, but I honestly felt nothing. So as I said, I've had persons who be like, you know, worry that these person, they're going to come and, you know, be a competition or they're going to. I'm like, no, it was never a thought, not once.
That's good, because you know what? We have a lot of people who they feel like they're protecting themselves by keeping everything to their chest, that they never put themselves out there because they're so worried about people copying them, right? And what we fail to realize is that there's nobody that could ever recreate you, right? Nobody is going to recreate you. If somebody is trying to copy you, they will always have to wait for you to make the move. Yeah. And at the end of the day, the audience, the clientele, nobody's dumb. Like, we know who the original is. We know where things come from. We buy from people. We make emotional decisions, especially when it comes to things like clothes. If I want to buy from you, we're going to buy from you. We're not going to go to the imitator. And for those listening in that are thinking about, you know, not wanting to share or teach or put themselves out there because of fear of people copying them, remember, when you go down the bread aisle, there is 100 variations of the exact same thing, right? So put yourself out there. Do not hold yourself back. Now, when it comes to carnival fashion, right now, I can imagine the calls that you get, the DMs, because everybody wants to look fly in the dance. You know, how has the season been for you so far?
It's been really good. It has been good. So from custom orders to my ready-to-wear pieces, it has been great.
So you have created like a particular line that would be catering to carnival? Like, how have you been kind of approaching the carnival season?
So I do have some new pieces, a mini collection that I would have. So like, for every season, I would usually drop a collection. So like I would have the carnival pieces would be suitable for all of your all-inclusives. You have your regular fets, so you can get your little crop tops. Mm. If you're an oversized person in terms of liking the resort wear, I have that. So like just to touch a bit on the different styling of different persons. So everyone would have a different personality and a different personal style. So,
right.
Yeah.
How do you get the inspiration to come up with the pieces?
I would say, I like to say from experiences. So like from going to different places, from just the Caribbean, things from the Caribbean, anything that, like, because my business, or I should say my brand is literally part of me. So it also happens based on whatever season, or I should say phase I'm in my life, because if person see the designs from when I just started to now, completely different.
Right.
So it depends on, like, so once I go through a particular phase of my life, the designs will change and transform the same way. So like you would literally see the change, like when Adana change, you would notice Taylor M changes when I transfer, and I'm always changing for the better. So you would always see that transformation. So she, I like to call her she. She is literally a part of me. So that is how it happens. So like the line that I currently have, it would be dependent, or I should say it was greatly influenced by the phase that I am now in my life. So that is where I like get the inspiration from. Yeah.
Does the Caribbean have a unique style? Because, and the reason I'm asking this is because in the region, people feel like, you know, we don't influence. We don't influence the world. We're always constantly looking to see what the U.S. is doing, what the U.K. and, you know, and everybody's trying to, you know, take what's happening over there. But because I spent my life in Canada, coming to Trinidad now, to me, when I hear that conversation, it's crazy to me, because I'm like, yo, we're literally taking everything from the Caribbean. Like, we don't move in Toronto until Jamaica says something, or until Trinidad says, like, it sets the tone. So does the Caribbean have its own unique style? Like, what's happening in the region?
I would say so. So, like, a lot of times, too, most of, like, the resort pieces, like, swimwear, I just feel like that is a Caribbean thing. Most of the original, like, designs, when you see these amazing designs, especially resort wear and beach wear and so forth, it's from Caribbean designers. So I would definitely say that is our thing. So that is my take on it.
Okay. Do when it comes to the clothing, when it comes to the parties, when it comes to the fets, right? Do you do anything for men, or is it strictly women?
Strictly women. I'm for the females. I am for the females.
Hey, when is Taylor male coming up?
No, I actually have my cousin for years have been saying, Adana, I want to be the first man.
Right.
He already given me the name, Taylor M, as in M-E-N, man, right? But sorry guys. I would like to, but I am for
you're focusing right now on the woman. All right, for now, all right, we'll allow it.
Maybe eventually, but right now I don't see it in my plans.
All right. So if I'm going to be giving you some scenarios, some events, right? And, you know, give us some ideas for clothing, what people could be thinking about when they're stepping out. So if I am going, or if my lady is looking to go out to a nice little boat cruise. What is a nice piece of clothing that you would need?
So for boat cruise, I guess it depends on the boat cruise too, because different boat cruise would have a different theme. Sometimes it's swimwear, sometimes, you know, and so it have different themes. So it depends on the theme. I guess it's carnival. So a lot of times, I think a lot of the boat cruises I would have seen recently would be swimwear, shades, that type of thing, shorts. I would say like a crop top, and I'm big on staple pieces. So when we say staple, we mean pieces that you could mix and match with something else.
Right.
So you could have this one shorts, you could wear that to the boat cruise, you could wear it to another fete, you could wear it to fire fete, you could wear it, put on heels, wear it to all inclusive. So I'm big on like staple pieces.
Right.
So for a boat cruise, I definitely would say if you're not a shorts person, you could do a knee-length something, like a knee-length skirt or a knee-length pants. I'm also big on comfort. When you go in a fete, we don't want anything too tight. You don't want anything too uncomfortable where you have to keep fixing.
Right.
So comfy, stylish, shorts, crop top. If it's a swimwear, something you could do a nice swim, which I love. Like currently, I have those nice little oversized shirts.
Yeah.
Shameless plug. So yeah. I have those nice resort oversized shirts that you could just throw over a swimsuit.
Right.
And we have a look there. Right. So it all depends on your style as well. Personal style is also something.
All right. So if you're stepping out right now, we're thinking upscale. We're thinking premium, all inclusive. We're thinking lime. We're thinking lavish. We're going premium. You know, what is Adonna stepping out in?
Well, I'm very, as I said, big on oversized stuff. I love comfort. So for something like that, I would definitely do, let's say, probably like a wide leg trouser. So like a nice high-waisted wide leg trouser where it's comfortable, where it's breezy, where it's just giving me that nice flow, and possibly a cute crop top. So I would do maybe something shorter the top, because I have all of this fabric to the bottom of the wide leg. I'll do a little less to the top. So I may do a nice little crop top, show a little cleavage, and then, well, accessorize the suit. So your accessories, your earrings, your bag to match, and so forth. So that is my style.
All right. And the last one I'll throw at you. I don't know if you do this one, but I'm going to throw it out there. Somebody comes to you and says, Adonna, I need Monday wear. What we gonna do?
I actually used to do Monday wear when I would have done, I used to do custom pieces. So like you could come with your like ideas and that type of thing, and we create something and we create a look. So I would have done Monday wear. It's not my thing. So I stopped. As I said, I'm big on feeling fulfilled. So a lot of people will be like, girl, there's so much money in that.
Yeah.
It's really not all about the money most times. Like I would be doing something for money, yes, but if I'm not feeling like, if I'm feeling I'm not feeling it, I really can't do it because I won't give my best. That's another thing. But for Monday wear, as I said, I am not really into like the sparkly. So I don't know if I would probably be giving an answer based on being biased and my preference.
You could be biased.
I'm not like on all of the sparkly and like all of the extraness and that type of thing. So I would probably go with something simple and accessorized to suit. So like my shoes and my like accessories, I love my little head wraps and pieces. So like I would probably do something extra on the head, and so like accessorizing, but in terms of like the design itself, it would be simple but effective.
Okay. So ladies, if you were you know, thinking of if you needed some ideas for stepping out to some of these events, you know, Adonna was here to give you some ideas for it, right? Now, just kind of touching back on the entrepreneurship side, right? You mentioned something just now where, you know, it's no longer about the money, right? And now if it doesn't really feel good, you're not really going to do it. That is a part of the journey where people don't realize when it happens, but at some point you turn that corner, right? Where you no longer need the money, where you're taking everything. You know, have you, you know, when you were going through that period where, you know, jobs were coming and you were taking everything, how did you feel going through that? And then when did you kind of realize that I need to make that transition and say no?
To be quite honest, this entire shift happened during COVID. Because right before this would have been Carnival. That Carnival was the craziest. I said yes to everything.
Oof.
To Monday wear, to this, to, like, it was crazy. I think I fell sick after. It was good because, of course.
Yeah, you made the coins. You made the coins.
But, like, in how I felt after, it was, I didn't like it. I really, because it took so much from me, like it took so much. And I know sometimes that's part of the journey, you know, that whole grind culture, that whole hustle, like, you know, you have to go. Like that is literally what I did then. But at the end of the day, I really didn't feel good. Like I think I fell sick after that as well. I was down for a while and then COVID happened immediately after.
Wow.
So I actually get the little rest
you got
I
a good
needed.
Time off.
Yeah. So even if COVID didn't happen, I probably would have been down for a while. So I also felt that was God working for me, to be quite honest. So it was after Carnival I actually got that shift. So during the lockdown and just home and just, you know, I started doing the online, because I would have done physical classes before. So I started doing the online classes. So, you know, from dealing with persons virtually, and then so new ideas came. And then I realized, you know, I really don't want to feel like how I've been feeling like after Carnival. Like, so I need to figure out, okay, how to create that shift. Yes, the cash is needed. We need to make the money.
Yeah.
But how could I make the money but still feeling alive then? Yeah. Like, I don't have to like take everything. I could say no to some things. So yeah. I have to make whatever necessary adjustments to be able to say yes to less things but still be able to bring in the same or even more cash.
That is a very, very powerful shift.
Yeah.
Because when you say yes to everything, that is a one-way ticket, direct flight to burnout.
Yes.
And that burnout, you know, affects everybody differently. That could be sickness. That could be, mental health. It manifests in everybody, mm-hmm. in everybody very differently. Even for me, when COVID just started, like I've been doing my thing since 2016, but in terms of helping people build their digital presence and monetizing, as soon as COVID hit, it's like everybody woke up and they're like, oh my God, I have to sell online.
Yeah.
So it was call after call about, hey, can you build my website? Can you coach me 1-on-1? And I remember very quickly, probably the first full month into COVID, where my calls were on the coaching side, 1-on-1 coaching. And I hadn't coached anybody 1-on-1 before, prior to that. It was workshops, it was a bunch of other things, but not 1-on-1. So I didn't know how to price it. I didn't want to overprice myself. Yeah. And I'm still figuring out my own. And I priced myself cheap, and I paid the price, because every single day it was like 6 clients. And every client was like an hour to an hour and a half. And it was back to... I had one day where I don't know what I was thinking. Because people had access to my calendar and they could schedule themselves in, I had set the parameters for like 6 calls that people could book it before I would be full. And I remember after one day, it was like 6 calls back to back to back. I'm like, I am never doing this again.
Yeah.
I'm like, now I went into my calendar, my calendar tool. I changed from 6. I'm like 4. 4 is the max, and set the parameters that every call there has to be a 2-hour break. Because listen to me, saying yes to everything. Yeah. Madness. It is a one-way trip.
Yeah.
So, Adana, the school, what are you teaching in the school?
So I teach sewing mainly. Mm-hmm. So from very beginning, you could come with absolutely nothing. Experience and sewing. So we start you from the very beginning and then we build the way up. So I recently introduced some more intermediate levels and so forth. So the aim, because it's only one of me,
there's
only so much I could have done. So now that I have a teacher on board, we added more classes. So the aim is to continue growing.
Right.
So to have, like, you know, that option where you could basically choose whatever path you want to go on. So I want to specialize in trouser, I want to specialize in swimsuit, I want to specialize in this. So we have various options. Mm-hmm. That you could learn to sew.
Where's the headquarters located?
Woodbrook, Buller Street, Woodbrook.
All right. And how do the classes run? Is it a cycle? How do the classes run in case people are interested?
So it runs in as a cycle. So I recently also launched some shorter term cycles. So it would have been like 2 months and so forth. But a lot of persons can commit to it. So we still have the like 2-month long term classes, mm-hmm. but we also have like a 1-day crash course. I actually have a class in a bit.
Right.
So like we an alterations class. So if you want to learn how to make adjustments, take clothing, you come to our 1-day class. You don't need to have any sewing experience. We're going to show you how to use your sewing machine and show you how to make, so whether it's hemming, adjusting the waist. You know, Caribbean women usually have issues with getting store-bought clothing to fit properly.
Right.
So I have the 1-day classes, 2-day classes, 3-day crash courses. So we have different options, long-term and short-term. So like it would go in cycles as well. So like the recent cycle would be starting in March. So all of March would have a cycle. Then it would move on to April. So let's say like every month, based on whether it's a short term or long term, a long term would roll into like 2 months, 3 months, so forth.
All right. Well, as we get close to the hour, and I know you're going to be running back to the headquarters to go to your class. Before we leave, you know, what has been the biggest joy about starting your business? What has been the biggest joy for you?
I would say the Freedom 106.5.
Hey,
Freedom.
Hey, chalet.
I know what is the Freedom, and I looked up and saw Freedom. Yeah, I would say the Freedom. I mean, persons saying Freedom is actually, how to explain it? Because when you have your own business, you have to work.
Yeah.
So much. So saying Freedom, sort of, you know,
it's contradicting. An oxymoron. Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, and we still have to put in the grind more, yeah. Right? So you have to work.
But you
hard.
Have the freedom to operate.
Exactly. So I could do things, you know, because I still operate. I get up every day, go to work for 8 o'clock after I drop my son. Everything. Like, I have my work hours. I have that structure. But I still could, you know, if someone called me for emergency, my son's school called me, I could drop everything without having to ask anybody anything. Mm. And I just go.
Yeah.
So, like, I really love that freedom, being able to spend time when I want with my son. I could choose the day offs that I want. I could choose when I'm going on vacation. Like, I really love that freedom of just being able to, even when it comes to business, the things that I want to be able to, you know, bring into fruition into the business, I have the freedom to do that myself. So I really love the freedom, even though it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Just having that freedom still. Yeah.
Do you think people should start their own business? What is your thoughts on that?
To be quite honest, having a business is not for everyone, right?
Yeah.
So yes, we would say, you know, you need to have multiple streams of income, that type of thing.
Yeah,
yeah, we could have it on the side, but not everyone needs to go into business full time. It's not for, like, realistically, I mean, we all of us can have the business full time, right? So do what's best for you. What is, like, you know, what feels right for you. You could have the side hustle, quote unquote side hustle, while still having your 8 to 4. If that is fulfilling, why not? But it is, of course, good to have that extra stream of income. But if you have a job or a career that you don't need it, then you don't need to have a business, right?
Very true.
Yeah.
Where can the Freedom 106.5 family find Donna Taylor and Taylor M?
So we're all on Instagram, Facebook, Taylor M Limited on both Instagram and Facebook, Taylor M Academy on both Instagram and Facebook. I do have websites as well, www.taylormacademy.com, www.taylormtt.com. So we are there.
That is what we're talking about. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, hold on. Before Adana goes, right, the boss Janine has just come in.
Hi, guys.
Janine.
Hello. Excuse my tardiness, everybody. The Ministry of Youth Development and National Service, we had the 40 under 40 today. So I had to go in and, you know,
I told the world that you were inspiring the youth and touring the country.
Was.
So I had to prep them.
I am, for the next few months as well. So
no,
you're going to be missing on Fridays, but don't worry. We'll be getting the word out and the message out.
Listen, somebody's got a whole... I traveling too, you know.
So, when I leave, man.
I got on Monday. I'm in the Bahamas next week. For kids and students on building in the digital world. Don't worry. Don't listen. Don't worry. I think I come back Thursday. I got to check.
I sent you my things, right? So you know.
Yeah. No, this is good because I like the fact that people are getting to see. You have three people in studio right now that are doing some really, really interesting things. We got to speak with Adana Taylor. Adana has been doing some amazing things with the Taylor M Academy, what she's been able to do in terms of creating her own brand. Listen, Janine is like, you know, I can create my clothes too, you know.
Right, so you are your seamstress, tailor, designer, everything all
yes.
in one. That is pretty awesome. My mom and I, well, I mean, sewing, I guess, runs in the family because my grandmother would have sewn everything from curtains to bed sheets to wedding gowns, right, for the family. And I guess seeing that is something that, you know, I mean, it sticks with you. I made my first skirt at 11.
Ooh,
yeah,
nice.
And I haven't stopped since. I always make my clothes. It's just, I have a real nice auntie now. And my auntie does give me real nice clothes now. Shout out to Auntie Lisa every time. So with, I guess spoils a little bit.
Yeah.
So I haven't sewn anything in a while. I did take in something the other day, and then when I press down my foot on the presser foot there, I say, I miss this. I miss this. So needless to say, I'm probably gonna get back behind my machine soon and stuff, and make it happen. I love it. I love creativity. I love doing it in all aspects. So
lovely.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'll ask this. Is this a good time to start creating your own brand of clothes?
I mean, it all depends on you, as I said. So in terms of the starting your own business and so forth, you will be able to, you have to know when is the right time for you. One, you could do your market research and so forth, but is there really a right time
that's
for anything?
I think if anybody out
is there really a right time?
That's what I was telling the kids today. Anybody out there, you have something, start where you are.
Yeah.
Start with what you have, where you are. And it will, once you're persistent and you're determined, it definitely somebody's going to latch on. Somebody, yeah. A sponsor is going to come up. You're going to get these encouraging words that are going to motivate you to continue doing it. But start with what you have, where you are right now. I watch these students today and I'm like, you don't need that nice phone. You don't even need a mic. You love music. You want to do what I do. You want to be on the radio. Start doing your own countdowns now. Every Friday, I love this video and I love this video because of whatever. And go on and do your thing and own it. But somebody will catch on. Somebody will like it. Somebody be like, somebody might want to buy a brand. You know, your .com.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So, just taking what I learned. somebody might want to buy a brand, so just focus on you.
Yes.
Facts. Folks, this was yet another amazing interview. Thank you, Adonna, for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Spending some time with the Digital World family right here on Freedom 106.5. Folks, please do not go anywhere. You have more to get from myself and Janine.
Oh, God. I made it.
You made it. We're here. Stay tuned, folks. Keep it locked.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
All right, guys, we are back. Freedom 106.5 FM on a beautiful Friday afternoon. And boy, oh boy, the city of Port of Spain, I don't know about you guys, but it's taking me and everybody else a half hour to move from one corner to the other. The traffic is horrendous.
You're
coming
bad.
Into Port of Spain and around the Port of Spain area. It's just crazy. I don't know why.
You know what? And I feel like the traffic situation has been really, really bad over the past couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Like there had, what was it, 2 days ago where there was traffic from 2 p.m. all the way to about 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
where it was bumper to bumper from Port of Spain. I was going into Port of Spain at 8:30 and I'm like, wait a minute. I looked up from my phone. I'm like, is that bumper to bumper traffic from Port of Spain all the way going south?
East, yeah. And I think it's mainly because while we do have a lot of visitors coming in, right? We do have some foreigners. We do have family and friends that haven't been home for Carnival in a while. And of course, they want to have their own wheels. They want to have the opportunity to drive and go where they need to be. So I welcome all foreigners. But for those of you checking in this week, right.
It's a lot of things happening at the same time because we already know we haven't decentralized a lot of the corporate offices, offices. So everybody has to come into Port of Spain.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the digital infrastructure isn't as strong as it needs to be so that people don't have to come into work,
mm-hmm.
don't have to come into an office to physically come in and drop off a document or, you know, so all of these things, when they're functional, ease the traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But because we have so many factors working against us, and then you start to add in more cars on the road,
more people
coming in,
mm-hmm.
it is a mess. And honestly, I'm glad that I only have to come into Port of Spain once a week.
Oh. I've got to come into Port of Spain 4 times a week.
Oh, God.
And honestly, today blew my mind. For the last three, it was fine. Normal time, I left home and I got to work on average time. But today, I didn't understand it. We were in the car after the 40, under 40 thing, and we were like, it took us an hour just to get from St. James to here, you know?
Yeah.
It took an hour, you know?
That's
crazy.
I was by the flyover right before, like, the flyover by the lighthouse where you can exit and...
Mm-hmm, by NP right
there. Yes. And from there, it took me half an hour to get from there to Independence Square.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
I don't know what's happening.
Do you think this makes sense? My mom always would have spoken about this because she's from Venezuela, and to cross the bridge of Maracaibo, you have to pay a toll.
Mm-hmm.
My mom always said, you know, if you charge people a toll to come into Port of Spain, you know, as people are going and driving Port of Spain, they're going and find a park and whatever the case is before they come up in Port of Spain. Do you think solutions like that make sense? If we paid, if we had to pay tolls, maybe to use certain or to gain access to Port of Spain.
Well, I think they might burn down the city at that point.
Oh, gee.
I think they might say, enough is enough. The government. But I think, honestly, the most immediate thing is companies need to start thinking about work from home. Who can work from home, start empty, even if it's hybrid, because not every job requires you to be at the office,
mm-hmm.
and not every job requires you to be at the office 5 days a week,
yeah.
right? Most people can be at the office 3 days a week, 2 to 3 days a week.
Gotta send love going out to our MD, though, Dr. Carrie-Anne Hepburn Malcolm. I believe since she came into our establishment here at GML, a lot of people have the opportunity to stay at home and work, you know, and come into the office 2 or 3 times a week and that kind of thing. So I really want to send a big shout out to her, because that's where, as the direction, because the whole country needs to go.
It just makes sense.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. It's most crazy. People are more productive at home in smaller spaces of time than you coming to work for 8 hours a day and you not productive half the time.
And the other
part to that is, you know, how productive can you be when you live in Toko
and you've coming spent 3 hours in traffic? You're gonna be so frustrated. I don't know how people do it. I had an 8 to 4 for 11 months. I couldn't even make a year. I had it for 11 months, and I mean, the traffic to get to work, you reach to work for the 7:30, whatever, you grab a breakfast, it's time for the job to start. But you've been in traffic for 2 hours before that.
And
then
mad.
when you finish at 4, you have a further 2.5 hour ride home.
Mad.
You spend half your life in that frustrating bumper to bumper, carbon monoxide, blowing of horns, traffic, and
no.
I'm sorry, guys. I said I know how true you're in the traffic.
Listen,
right now.
And I may know my entire company and brand. My company is called the Digipreneur Company, Digital Entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
Digital Entrepreneurship for a reason.
Yeah.
And the reason is not just time freedom, but location freedom. I don't ever want to have to physically be somewhere.
Right.
90% of everything that I do is done from home, or I could do it from anywhere. As long as I have my laptop, I can work, do client work, you know, unless I have to physically go somewhere. But that's a very small percentage of the time.
So and I will say, to get you to come watch your house on a Friday.
And that's by choice. and that's by choice. Like I said, I decided to do radio, right?
Yeah.
I didn't have to. It was a decision. And when I get the calls to, hey, we want you, maybe it's a job offer. Hey, can you meet in person to do a client meeting? And I'm like, no. Unless I really want to be there. 9 of the 10 times, no. It's I'm going to do everything because peace of mind.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in traffic. I don't want to have to leave to go out and make money. And these are things that people can decide. Not obviously not everybody can make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
But if enough people, if a percentage of people started to learn digital skills and learn how to, you know, freelance and work for companies abroad, work remotely because you're not limited in employment anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If a percentage of people, let's just say 10% of Trinidad, right? Modest.
Yeah.
10% of Trinidad started to say, I could learn a digital skill. I could work for a company remotely. I could earn foreign exchange and live right here and not have to leave my house to do that. That still eases up a bit of the burden of having to physically be on the road.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you're so knowledgeable. We got to push for you on the 40 and the 40 because you can tell the children and teach the children so much.
The thing is, you know, the funny thing is, right, is that even like 40 under 40 or not, I'm still doing a lot of school tours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm flying out to Bahamas. I got booked to go speak in the Bahamas to do a school tour. So I'll be in Bahamas all next week enjoying Bahamas beautiful weather over there and doing my thing over there for the same thing, right?
Yeah.
It's and the panel and the workshop that I'm involved in is all teaching kids digital skills and how to learn online outside of school, right?
Yeah.
When I come back the Thursday, I'll be doing a workshop in Antigua. That'll be remote,
right?
But it'll be a workshop in Antigua. So it is happening, 40 under 40 or not, it is happening. And I think more schools are starting to realize that there are alternative careers. And if you would have realized our theme, almost everybody that comes in here is kind of doing an alternative career path.
Yeah.
Right. And they're learning their skills, not in school. They're still learning skills, and it's being pulled from all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that we have that platform in digital world where we get to spotlight those skills and those people.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say hello. My co-host needs to come on board because he has so much knowledge and information. And the children are all on their phones. They're all digital anyway. I think one of the children on my table, she's like, I don't have Instagram. And that was a shocking thing to hear from that age group. I mean, they were between 14 and 17.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to hear that one student say, I don't have Instagram and whatnot. So I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, I was in Bishop's the other day for Form 6. And same thing. One kid out of the 50 students we're speaking to, he's like, yeah, I don't have social media, period.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody just, what do you mean?
Yeah,
why?
Yeah.
And the man is like, because the man is watching.
Well, boy, a lot of people think that, you know, but my whole thing is, you feel if you don't have an internet account, or you don't have an IG account, the man are watching.
The man still, but he's just, he's like, yo, you know what? He's like, you know what? Right now, he's like, I just don't think, I need a distraction. He's like, I know it's a vacuum. The minute I start, you go down that road, and he's like, it's just better for me to just not be on any social media platform. I use my phone or my computer just for research purposes, and I call people. He's like, they don't always answer the phone, but I call people and speak.
That's real good. Well, shout out to him.
Shout out to him.
Because not a lot of, I don't even like when people call me. Like, I see my phone ring, and I'll be like, what boy answer this way?
Yeah.
There's a job. Like, I'll quicker answer, strange number. That might be a job. Hello.
Yeah.
You know, friend. In front of them calling for something, you know what I mean? Message me. Cool, I will reply. Might be tomorrow, but I'll reply.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But calls on me is funny because I'm always like, okay, right. Uh-huh.
This could have been a text.
Yes, the people like to me to see my hand doing this. I just be doing this.
Get
like,
to the point.
Yeah. I mean, you call me for something, get to the something you call for. You, and I don't care what a small talk are good. Are always good. That way you had to know. Anybody who call me, I always good. And even if I'm not good, yeah, my best friend or my diary, so I ain't telling if I'm bad. Right? So, come on. I good. I always good. Get to the point. What do you want? What's happening? Tell me. Talk to me. You know, so shout out to the young people that really do not even consider that whole distraction, because it is. And I was telling you off air that I feel like, whoa, my attention span is, it's getting deplorable. It is.
Yeah.
I'm thanks so much for the app. What is the name of it?
Well, shout out to the company Allegory, right? Allegory, they are a neuroscience-based company that focuses on building your attention and peak performance.
Oh.
And Homeboy is located right in Trinidad and Tobago. His name is Keston Watkins. Keston Watkins is a neuroscientist right here in Trinidad. And listen to me. Just the fact that he is a neuroscientist based right here in Trinidad, and again, he has built an application. They have built an actual headset that they use to monitor your brain waves.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of crazy things that they do in Allegory. And Allegory is spelled A-L-L-E-G-O-R-I, A-L-L-E-G-O-R-I, Allegory. Go check out their website, allegory.org, or just Google them and just go look at the things that they're doing. They work with students, they work with kids, they work with adults who have trouble focusing and working with you to get your peak performance. Because I don't want to butcher his thing, but he has, I remember in a conversation with him, he just broke down how social media is degrading our, and we were speaking about that a bit offline as well. Social media is killing our attention span just based on how it is. And people have to work. People have to work on building back up their focus in an age where everything is coming to you quick and fast. And there are going to be people that are in roles where they need to focus.
Yeah, because even if, even in the videos, like sometimes I'm like, it says watch till the end. And I watch till the end. And then sometimes I'm like, God, I just wasted like a minute of my life watching this thing till the end. I could have not done that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, get to the point faster. It has made me wish everything, just give me the point.
You know what? We speak a lot about content marketing and creating content, right? And people, when I tell people to blog, create a blog for your brand or whatever, and people are like, but people don't read. And what people don't realize is of all of the different types of content we have out there, whatever the platform is, reading is still the fastest way to consume information because you could skim.
Yeah, and you just pick out the points.
Pick out the points, get what you need. If it's intriguing enough, people will read more. But it takes you seconds to consume something that's written. If someone sends you a video, like you said, you got to watch till the end. If someone sends you a voice note, shout outs to WhatsApp for that 2X.
Oh, thank God. No, but I'm the worst. I have sent a 10-minute voice note already. My bestie in Australia, she always complains. The other day I got buffed. She's like, 7 minutes, Janine, you had to be kidding me. After 1 minute, move your hand and go and send my next minute one now. 7 minutes? I was like, just speed it up now. It's
because,
not alone.
Because you can't watch it. You can't listen to it in pieces.
No, she can't. But she's like, just send me in pieces. Stop sending me these long voice notes. And I'm like, okay, I'll try.
Well, you know what? In all fairness, though, sometimes you're sending a voice note and you're just caught up in explaining what it is. Correct. And then you look down, you're like, oh my, 10 minutes?
Yes, exactly. Exactly what happened. She asked a question and I answered it. And I, into the answer and look down 7.5 minutes. Yeah. And I'm like, she go get vexed with this.
I'm bad with voice notes because, like, now when you're on air, you're speaking, you're doing something. If you're on a panel, you could sneak a chance and read.
Reply, right?
When it's a voice note, almost every time I get a voice note, I'm always doing something. And I'm like, I'll get back to it. But then more messages come in and you just, and then you're the bad friend. Mm-hmm. And then you don't get back to
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Well, I try to tell people, it's like, I can't listen. Where I am, I can't listen. So you have to type it out. I say, type it out. I can't listen.
And then they hit you back with, well, listen to it when you get a chance now.
Sometimes I do. And that's your business, homie, because me, the attention span short and my memory. Worse.
Listen.
Memory worse. So if you think I go and remember to come back to your turn.
The best thing they ever did on WhatsApp was 1.5 and 2X. Because boy, I will take your chipmunk voice. I will listen to the chipmunk voice. That definitely
doesn't even bother me.
It does not bother me. So what is your weekend looking like?
Okay, well, I am also part of CNC3's TV show for Carnival, The Party Start. So, yes, I'm co-hosting with my brothers upstairs. So I believe that is tonight at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And for The Party Start tomorrow, I believe I have Kids So Amazing to try and get a little bit of that footage. And then I want a party this weekend. Hello.
Hello.
So I tried to head to QRC. Marvin. Right, QRC for me, Marvin. After that, it looks like, well, you know, Pan Semis is Sunday. I was considering Bacchanal Road, but it seems that Pan Semis
is going
the greens, and Pan Semis
is the flick
for the weekend, and I am all for it because I mean I love Pan.
Yeah,
you know, it's part of my DNA. I love it. I had a conversation with someone from St. Vincent, and the person says, "Well, I invite them. I say, hey, you know, come chill with me at this bar, my friend's bar. There's a Pan Yard around the corner."
Mm-hmm.
the person says, I don't like pan. I say, wait. Hold on. Not that you're not my friend no more, eh?
Yeah.
But hold on. Yeah. Stop. You know, I really didn't have a problem with it, but yeah. I had to catch my bearings because I'm so proud of my culture.
Yeah.
And this is like the last instrument that was created. It came out of slavery. It's so meaningful to me.
Yeah.
For someone to tell me, and I guess it's okay if a Trini tells me I don't really like pan.
Yeah.
Because they grew up with it. They, you know.
Yeah.
It's noise. Somebody might tell me that, but for a foreigner to tell me that, you know, I don't like pan, I was just like, we're in my country again. You know? What are we here for?
You know, let me add something to that, right? Because as much as I was born here, I left as a baby, right? Mm-hmm. Wait.
So
we've been around Exodus.
Love them.
My dad is one of the leaders in Exodus.
Nice.
My mom is the first lady in Exodus.
I like how it is going.
Right? My uncles, Exodus is a family thing, right? Exodus actually started up St. John in our yard.
Okay.
And then moved down. Well, it was Flamingos first, which is why Flamingos Bar.
Right.
And then Flamingos separated into Exodus, and then Exodus moved down to the Panyard by St. John, right?
Yes.
So my family is Exodus and Flamingos, but Exodus now through and through.
Right.
For me, growing up and listening to pan, it was noise.
Yes,
It was, but you know, when I started to appreciate pan, where now I could listen to pan,
mm-hmm.
because I know the songs they're playing.
Right.
So when I never knew the songs that they were playing, Kaiso or whatever they were arranging before, and I never knew what the songs were,
mm-hmm.
it was just noise because I had no idea what I was listening to. Is this sound good? Is this supposed to sound? Are they playing the right? Like, I don't know.
Right.
But now that they're playing a lot of the songs that you actually know, where it's more, it could be a soca song, or you have more artists that are creating songs particularly. I have context now.
Right.
So now I could hear Engine Room or Olatunji.
Correct. And the Nutrigen Silver Stars is playing his song.
So now when I'm listening to it, I know how the song is.
Yes.
So now I have some context. Okay. And I'm like, okay. Now this is a vibe.
I thought he was going to tell me he don't like the title. No. Ole don't understand. I said, no, not on the air. I don't have to deal with anything in the air.
You know how much, when we used to come on vacation, my mom used to drag me back down to Exodus, right?
Yeah.
And that's her thing. And I used to be like, oh God, mommy, leave me up the road, please.
No.
I'm going to meet you up the road, please. But now it's a vibe.
I've always liked it. And I think I got to send love going out to my Uncle Glenn. My Uncle Glenn went, and this is something, for me, this is tradition. I played Kiddies Carnival, always. I've been playing that since I was 2 years old. People I love, mamas, true and true. And of course, Carnival Monday and Tuesday is not for the little children, right?
Yeah.
So the family would come down. We'd always gather by Adam Smith Square, one of the judging points. And the family would always come down. I'm speaking about when my grandmother was alive. So it was nice that the cousins, so my Uncle Glenn, he has two children. And it was nice that he allowed us to follow the pan bands.
Mm.
Not necessarily the carnival bands, the big bands or the kiddies.
Yeah.
But when pan passed across, or when pan and powder passed across, those were the bands that we were allowed to go and chip behind, you know? So it would be my uncle, my aunt, and my cousins, but it would be pan. Unless my parents, who were playing mass, they came, and we'd still take a little jump with them, but it wouldn't be too far.
Right.
But for pan, we would start at Adam Smith Square, and we might reach all the way down by La Perouse with the pan band and come back, because he loved pan so much. And I believe because I was exposed to it like that at a young age, 9, 8, it just was part of something for me.
Yeah.
Internally, If carnival this season comes and I do not hit pan semis, or if I don't make it to pan finals carnival Saturday, or make it to a pan during the season, I feel very disappointed in myself, because I feel like this is my culture, this is a tradition. People sacrifice time, energy. At one point, lives were sacrificed to make this carnival thing come true. So how dare I not appreciate it? And that's, for me, bottom line is, it's from where I am.
Yeah.
It's running in my blood. It's my people make this thing. How I could be ungrateful and not go and support it? So for me, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know? So everything about the culture, not just the pan, Kambule reenactments. I hope you go. A Nation, I hope you go Carnival Friday morning, 4 a.m. behind the bridge at the judging point. Very safe. Don't worry. I know a lot of people behind the bridge, she mad. No, calm down. The ministers, everybody's be there. It's be a lovely time. And the best part for me is that you get to know why we have a baby doll, why we have mud, why we have the Dam Lorraine.
Yeah.
Why do we have these aspects and these traditional elements of Carnival? A lot of people are very confused, especially the young ones. I met a man this week, and he's telling me that Carnival encourages orgies, and Carnival is when women disrespect their husbands and gyrate on private parts. And I said, sir, I've been playing Carnival since I was 2 years old. I've never had an orgy. This is news to me. You know, I don't even understand your context.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, it goes way, way, way past this, what it is now has become, which is a street parade. This is a living ritual to me. This is something that means plenty to me.
Because
I wish more people understood the why it is so important. It's not just a party.
It's because that's how it's packaged. Mm-hmm. So, again, I came to Trinidad at 28. All of my life, Carnival was just a street party. That's right. That's all we're ever sold.
Correct.
Outside. There ain't no nothing about the history of Carnival. It's, we know Trinidad as the party island of the world, right? And that is what is being sold mm-hmm. to everybody. So there's no context of why Carnival happens. Nobody's pushing the history of Carnival. And I think for Carnival to be, for the history of Carnival to live on, we know that the generation is very different, and they're into different things, and how they consume content is very differently. Like, they might not sit in a, they might not go to the Cambly riots, but if it's packaged in a production, in a way, we need to figure out how do we reinvent the history.
That's the battle there, because the older ones don't want to let it go. They don't want to.
Then it's going to dead.
The reins that they have on it.
And
they don't want to move it.
And then it dies.
Right? So hopefully it doesn't die. But if they don't find a way to make it better for tourists or the rest of the country to attend, we are going to have a problem. Because, number one, the facility is too small to even accommodate people in the area. Furthermore, any tourists or visitors that want to actually see the Kambule reenactments, I sit on the pavement most of the time to watch the Kambule, right? That's because I'm into my thing, right? But if they would take it, like we've been begging, and put it at the Queen's Park Savannah, where there is vendors, where there are bathroom facilities, where you can park your car easily, where you feel comfortable, where there are lights, where the speaker system and sound system work impeccably, then there is a complete package to sell. But as I said, the younger ones have no problem with this. The older ones think that, no, this is part of where the last riot happened. This is part, this where we stand in the soil.
It doesn't evolve. It doesn't grow.
Yeah, this soil have something in it. We have to do it here. And if they would only just open their minds a little bit, then we can have it on a bigger stage. We can have the mics that are not going to short when they go out of range. We can have proper facilities to house the VIP guests. We could have proper facilities. I don't have to sit on the road. When I want to use the bathroom, I could just walk downstairs.
Yeah.
You know, we have the facilities. But it's unfortunate that the ones that are in charge are watching it like something is going to be taken away. When the only thing that could be done, it will add to the value of it. Because you know what's going to happen, eh? There's going to be some lovely producer. And I say this, and I hope the relevant people listening.
Mm-hmm.
But only will wait until this thing reach Broadway. And all they will see anything on Broadway.
Yeah.
Call the Kambule with a K and not a C. The Kambule reenactments. And then all they will get vexed.
And then vexed.
Because all they will see it in Broadway. It will win an award because it is excellent. It is, the production is excellent. The story behind it is magnificent. So y'all will wait till you see it on Broadway. Some foreigner going on coming on. Some nice costume and go up the road.
And it will happen. Like, I was having this conversation just yesterday, and I was like, it's going to, at some point, Cambly will turn into a Broadway production,
yes.
And then people are gonna.
And then they're gonna see, oh my God, that is why Carnival good. That is how Trini Carnival different. Ways I never know that. or they will wait.
They will wait. And then we don't even, and then when it happens, we don't even react in a way that makes sense.
We don't even get vexed.
We get vexed and we blow things out of proportion. Because look, I think we've missed some amazing opportunities over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the situation with Michael B. Jordan.
And the
rum.
But he tried to call it again? Calypso.
Juve,
he tried to call it?
Juve rum.
Right. Well, I didn't have a problem with that. I don't know what the Trinidad and I'm kick up the cell for. I said the guy, he lime with Black Panther, man. Well, they didn't understand the connection. Michael was liming with Winston. Right? Winston from Tobago. Winston probably plug it in and you know. You have to understand that is the connection that we would have had. People, and rather than you celebrate it, because you... in Trinidad, who like Juve, who's played Juve all the time, never decide to go and name nothing Juve. You can't get vexed when somebody outside name it Juve, because the governments and the bodies that are, they didn't say, hey, Juve too important. You can't just name a rum after our festival.
Cultural appropriation. Right? Juve is not a rum. It's a festival. It's a this, it's a that.
But the government never do nothing. So we could take it and run with it.
Before you say... I could understand, okay, a little bit of outrage. You know, Juve is not that, right? But before a productive conversation happens, right? Before you say, hey, Michael B., because you end up changing it, right? So opportunity out the window.
I think didn't he back out of the whole thing?
Yeah. He backed out of everything. He just scrapped it, right? Yeah. But before, I think he renamed it.
I believe
he renamed it, but it's no longer. But
it's
before,
not Juve.
It's not Juve. So before you say, hey, you know what? Juve is more than this, and there's an opportunity here to have your rum be a part of what Juve is in a very big way. But let's bridge that gap. Let's tell some stories. Let's do something more than just rum, where it makes sense to promote the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have a place with the rum. Like, we just never had a proper conversation that pushes what we're trying. We just blew up.
He didn't talk to Angus Dura. I didn't get it, because even if you had linked with our local rum company, you know, I think we might have supported it a lot better if we heard Angus Dura was launching the Michael B. Jordan Juve rum. I think we might have even supported that approach a lot better than just this foreigner come to name his rum Juve.
Well, if it all depends on how it happens. Like, if Angostura came up with the idea and decided to reach out to Michael B. Jordan, cool. I'm thinking Michael B. Jordan has access to every resource in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably thinking, you know, let me get Caribbean people around me, or let me get a Caribbean flavor, but we have access to, you know, a different type of rum over here that we can create, you know. I don't know. My only issue is we just did not have any productive conversation.
Sure.
It was just let's go viral by bashing, let's tear him down, let's do the most, and then nothing
happens, because another celebrity would just watch out and say, you know what, them Trini people,
doesn't
like
make
too much
sense.
Bacchanal.
Doesn't
I ain't bothering with
sense.
That. You know?
And there was like a couple other things that happened.
And when we
happened.
Supposed to make the big uproar, we're not. Because when they took the pan and they decided, hey, what? Here's how I feel about pan. I feel like no other country in the world should have been able to make the national instrument.
Mm.
And I also feel if our national instrument is to be made anywhere else, our coat of arms or our national flag, a national emblem needs to be part of the pan. You can't just have this pan all willy-nilly out there. It needs to be stamped and approved, made in Trinidad. It needs to be... You know, that's how I felt about it.
And the problem is, this is, you know, this is something that Carla Paris is always talking about, right? When, like, we create a lot of things, but we don't understand the business of the things that we create.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And all it takes is for the right business person to see the opportunity and go with it. And then there's no recourse.
Exactly.
You just got to hope. Because Michael B. Jordan didn't have to change it.
No, he just didn't want any drama.
He just didn't want a drama associated with it. It was pointless, right?
Mm.
But the reality is that he had all the business in order.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
He decided to make the change on his own. I think it was on the big uproar with the electronic pans.
Yeah.
The digital pans.
But Isn't it like they are part Trini or something like that? That Trini's living outside or something? I think that's why we ease them off or something like that.
But why even have an uproar about that?
Well, for me, I don't know. It goes back to one. I think it needs to be stamped first. I think it needs to be stamped by Trinidad. I think it needs to be well recognized that even if we're going to be producing this out there, it just needs to still have Trinidad and Tobago on it.
Trinidad and Tobago understands the business of whatever they're involved in,
it is very sad.
You know,
Carla Paris for Minister of Tourism, please.
I mean, she definitely needs to be in the Attorney General's office or something.
Because it's to me it's quite ridiculous, you know. And what's next? What are we gonna lose next? I mean, if we think about it on a bigger scale, how much of the Pitch Lake do we own again? Did we not lease out some of it for like Do we not have the worst roads in the Caribbean?
We don't understand the business of what it is that we are doing.
We still own the Caribbean Swamp. I just asking. I don't know. I don't know if we sell it to Venezuela. I don't know. We just make some deals and they don't even tell the people. So, as I was saying, even what we get upset for, you know, it's comical at times to me, because the Pitch Lake, there are two Pitch Lakes in the entire world. Yeah. We happen to have one of them.
Yeah.
And we lease it out. We lease it out to for enough money. I ain't seen the money from that lease, no.
No.
I ain't seen the money for that lease.
No.
So those things bother me. Those things really do bother me. And with the platform and stuff, okay. Okay, yes. So with the platform and stuff, I feel like we can do more. And I really hope that the relevant people are listening, and I really hope that, hey, there are people like me. There are people like Karen. We're passionate about our country. We're passionate about our culture. Don't be selling out our stuff. Don't be giving it away for free. You know, we can't get back the fact that there's now an electric pan on the market. We can never get that back, you know? And it's such a pity, Ministry of Education, sorry to put it like that, such a pity that children are still learning to play the recorder in school. Y'all are telling me that the recorder is cheaper to buy, it's easier for the kids to carry. Put some pans in the music rooms and let them learn to play pan. This is ridiculous. It's ridiculous that it's our national instrument, but the first instrument that most people in Trinidad and Tobago have learned to play is the recorder.
That's
sad.
That recorder hurts my head every single time.
I didn't like it at all.
Every single time. Listen to me. The two most pointless things I've ever seen happening in school is, one, the recorder, and two, learning how to cook tiramisu.
Okay. I love tiramisu.
Listen to me. It growing up high school in Toronto, that was it, man. You learn to play the recorder, you go to home economics class, the first thing you learn how to cook is tiramisu. Mm-mm. I'm like, geez, before we learn how to cook before we learn how to make some bread.
Yeah. That's going to take you a lot further than tiramisu, unless you plan to just sell tiramisu for the rest of your life.
I didn't even want to hear the word tiramisu.
Well, I feel bad because I don't know how to make that. That seems like a complicated cake, though. It was really complicated.
Sponge cake and call it a day. Betty Crocker for the win.
Of course. Well, it's Auntie Betty, yeah? And my aunt, you know?
Uncle Duncan Hines.
Yeah, and that's my family.
And Uncle Duncan Hines, man. I am excited for next week. Next week.
So tell me, when do you leave?
As the show has been going on, the flights are being booked. Like, they had to change my flight while the show has been going on, so I've been between that, but I leave out on Monday. As of right now, my flight is set. I'm going to be flying out to the Bahamas, but I do a half-day layover in Turks and Caicos.
Nice.
So I'm extremely excited about that.
How lovely.
When I land in...
Congratulations, Carol.
No, thank you. This is my second time going out to Bahamas. I was
beautiful
there last year for a conference last year,
mm-hmm,
and did a good job, so they booked me again to come out. And basically, over the next couple of days, we're going to be doing a workshop about internet safety amongst high school children, right?
again, Ministry of Education. Again, let's go back here. Ministry of Education, people are seeking out your country's talent, your country's ability. Other countries are seeking it out. He is sitting right here. He is sitting right here. You know what I mean? We are all concerned about the children on the phone. We have somebody that can teach internet security and safety right here.
Yeah.
And y'all have not called him to come into the school and teach the teachers and teach the children. Trying not to get
fixed. Listen, piece by piece, because there has been, you know, two of our universities that I'm in conversations with, and we're starting to speak a lot of digital things. So things are happening. I mean, more can always be done, but we're going to be talking internet safety and also digital careers. You know, what types of new skills can people learn? Where can they learn them? What types of jobs can they create with these digital skills? And when you're thinking about the Bahamas, the tourism industry is, you know, it's one of the best in the entire Caribbean. And, you know, the businesses themselves, because they don't understand digital, they're now trying to learn, and they want to get their kids thinking about digital careers, helping the businesses. When I went there the first time, it just so happened like four or five planes landed at the same time as me.
Wow.
And there was maybe 200 to 300 people in the airport, right? And this is the first time I was like, I want to eavesdrop on conversation. So I actually turned my headphones off. It was a lot of non-colored folk I was around, right, that landed at the same time. Everybody's there on vacation. So I'm just listening to the conversations. Everybody's talking about, hey, I want to go parasailing. I want to go scuba diving. I want to check out the cuisine in the Bahamas. And the first thing everybody did was, every single time they spoke about what they wanted to do,
they
whipped out their phone and they Googled it. And whoever showed up was who was getting the call. Now, when I was at that conference, I was teaching, the workshop I did at that particular conference was how to become Googleable, helping the businesses become Googleable.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, all the business owners that were in the stadium, for the most part, none of them are Googleable.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm here thinking, I'm like, I'm in the airport and everybody's Googling trying to find businesses.
Yeah.
And then we go do the workshop and everybody's talking about, well, I don't have a website and, you know, I'm not on Google, and it's just, hopefully somebody at the hotel recommends, word of mouth, recommends our restaurants, whatever. But then luckily enough, you have some tourists that are like, yo, they're just so happy to be in the Caribbean that they're just willing to just leave the resort and just go explore. And that's how a lot of the businesses get found.
Mm.
Just because the tourists themselves are like, forget the phone, let me just go and walk.
Right.
But that's not necessarily sustainable. What you want...
And it probably won't happen in Trinidad.
And you, I mean,
sixth highest crime rates in the world.
I mean, you know...
You know, honestly, yeah. I just watch it. I don't... Ollie should laugh at this because I just find it funny.
Yeah.
But I just watch the tourists that come in here. Especially if they're coming here for the first time. I watch it funny, you know. I had to watch it funny because we are the sixth highest crime rate in the world. Be proud of it. Y'all earned it. Yeah, you earned that. So be proud of it. But I got to watch the tourists that flying in a little funny because you're a risky tourist. Risky tourist there because... Yo, I don't know if I am going to pick up myself and fly to the fifth highest crime rate in the world. I don't know if I'm going to book a vacation and say, I'm going. I don't know. You understand? I got to be cautious. Now, my mom's from Venezuela.
Yeah.
Their crime rate is high as well. But thy family,
yeah.
Thy second home, that right there. I understand that. I'm not no tourist when it comes to that.
Yeah.
But if you're telling me you're coming from Sweden... In 2023, no coming to check out Trinidad for the first time, highest crime rate. I don't watch you slight because you don't know you're brave enough to handle this. Something up, something fishy. What are you doing? You coming to do crime too? What going on? I don't watch you.
I think the mindset is always when we fly into the Caribbean, it's that we're sold a vision, right? People have to realize that the reason we come to the Caribbean is we are sold a vision, right? And that vision is... coconut trees, cocoa butter,
beach.
The beach, the food, the ambiance. We're not being sold the reality. We are being sold a vision of the Caribbean, mm-hmm. right? So when you come here, you're not thinking about this could happen to me, mm-hmm. right? When we are thinking about New York, when we're thinking about Toronto, we see all the crime and we see it. Because every single day we're flooded with that vision of New York, right? Gotham City, Batman. Like, that's what we see in all the movies. Mm-hmm. But when you hear about the Caribbean, it's always that peaceful, slow, everything is irie, everything good, right? That's what we're sold. So when we touch down, ain't nobody thinking about that because that's not what we are sold coming here. Mm-hmm. We're sold the vision of it.
Yeah, you're sold that, but you're also warned. We've also made quite a number of lists. Lately, we've made quite a number of lists, as in traveling warnings and bans to come to our country. We've made a couple lists. So that's why I say, brave.
And people are naive,
I like
too,
you.
Right? People are naive too. People feel like, you know what, if I mind my business, you know, I'll be good. Like, ain't nobody looking to study me. I'll just mind my business, and that's that. And that's not always the case. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could be doing so much more. Trinidad and Tobago has so much to offer. And I don't even feel like, I think one of the things that bothers me, especially the deeper I get into digital strategy, marketing, and all that stuff, I feel like we're not even doing enough to push and package Trinidad the way that it needs to be
it's
packaged.
It's horrible. The day I was sitting down watching an ad about Barbados.
How did you feel when you watched that?
I felt like, wow, even if we did a quarter of this, even if the Ministry of Tourism did a quarter of what they do to sell Barbados or to sell Turks and Caicos or to sell Curaçao, we would be so much better.
This to me works against us. In Trinidad, the only thing we're trying to package is Carnival, right? There's so much more. Like, heck, the minister and even Farris, when he was in AG's office, when they were talking about the mother of all carnivals, the conversation was, we need to figure out how to make fetes all year round.
Yeah, but they didn't even market this mother of all carnivals very well.
No,
they didn't.
Because they don't know how to market.
Right, but when you say you're marketing something, you got to market it with the carnival parties, accommodation, a flight. You're going to book in food as well, a little tourist thing for them to go and watch the carny something. That, to me, is a package that an all-inclusive. You understand?
Yeah.
So I don't have to think of, oh, but I wanted to do that cultural thing and I can't. You know what I mean? So I think when we sell Trinidad and Tobago, because we shouldn't just be selling Carnival.
Yeah.
Carnival is our highest point where we should be making the most bang for the buck. But we have festivals throughout the year. We have amazing festivals in both countries, in both islands.
And that's not whatever gets pushed.
No.
It is only ever
Carnival.
And the part of Carnival that gets sold is the street parties.
Street parade.
That's
so
it.
They don't include the traditional characters. They don't include kiddies. They don't include the Kambule. They need to come and get a piece of the Kambule, anything. I mean, to me, more can be done. And I am not one to sit and bump my gum. So I try to make these things at least in my lifetime, why I am here and I can do something to make the difference. Yeah. Because we can't sit on and let it just waste away.
No, we can't. We all have to pitch in. And again, there's so much that can be done.
Can you imagine when the new ratings come in, if we make the top three for the highest crime rates in the world? Can you imagine?
I can't imagine it. I think this is probably the only year where I've paid attention to murders.
Yeah.
And it's because this is within the last six to eight months. Call someone's calling in?
Yeah.
Oh. Caller.
Call me back, but we will have to leave.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.